Women have no feelings. Woman has a great many methods to manipulate a man, but to list them all here is impossible. Suffice it to look more closely at two relatively harmless methods, a man's good manners and the suppression of his emotions. Any man who wishes to be a success with women, and there is one who doesn't, must acquire a variety of qualifications. Apart from intelligence, ambition, industry, and pertinacity, he must know exactly how to behave in the presence of women. With this aim in view, women have established certain norms which are called good manners. Basically, the rule is that any man who has a sense of self-respect must, at all times, treat a woman like a queen. Similarly, a self-respecting woman must, at all times, give man every opportunity of treating her like a queen. A woman will marry a man simply because he is wealthy. But if she is given the choice between two wealthy men, one with and one without manners, she will choose the man who has them. For if a man has mastered the rules governing good manners, a woman may be sure that he will never, at any time, question her ideal value as a woman, which he has long since been conditioned to respect, not even after she has ceased to attract him. Psychologists state that happiness comes with laughter, faith with prayer. This is true, but only for men. She will become a superior being for him. Women are more gifted to differentiate between fact and fiction. Unlike other methods of manipulation, good manners are not the result of conditioned forms of behavior based on profound psychological motivation. Children are taught to behave relatively late, and manners are particularly easy to recognize as a form of women's exploitation. It is a puzzle why even today such old tricks are still successful. The advice a mother gives to her teenage son going out on his first date is a good example of a woman's audacity. Pay the taxi. Get out first. Open the door on the girl's side and help her out. Offer her your arm going up the steps. Or, if they are crowded, walk behind her in case she stumbles so that you can catch her. Open the door into the foyer for her. Help her out of her coat. Take the coat to the cloakroom attendant. Get her a program. Go in front of her when you're taking your seats and clear the way. Offer her refreshments during the intermissions. And so on. And on top of that, we should not forget that the average type of play is an outdated form of entertainment, because most of them are aimed at the intellectual level of women, as indeed are many of those things which we like to label cultured. Pity the poor man who has to submit to all this. He probably has an inkling that not only he, but the assembled company of directors, actors, and producers awaiting them are there only to form the background for women and her clique. This background is simply a place where she can indulge in her inane orgies, where she and other women can take part in their grotesque masquerades, with the extras, the men, suitably costumed in black. The most cynical aspect of the good manners etiquette is the role of protector, which is forced on a man. This begins harmfully enough, it is true. He follows her when going upstairs or walks on the traffic side of a pavement. It is when we reach the level of military service and war that the significance of this becomes more serious. One of the most important rules is that a man must, under all circumstances, protect a woman from unpleasantness, even if necessary with his life. And as soon as is old enough, he will do just that. This training is accomplished at such an early age that in any catastrophe, a man will save women and children before he thinks of himself, at the cost of his own life. There is no compelling reason why these roles should not be reversed. Since woman is unfeeling, she could cope with the psychological effects of war atrocities more easily than a man, and the modern forms of war requires neither physical strength nor intelligence, only the ability to survive, tenacity. All statistics about lifespans show that women live longer than men and therefore are tougher. A normally developed North American woman who has taken sports at school, for example, is certainly not inferior in physical strength to the much smaller Vietnamese men. A GI fighting against Asian men is making war on an enemy no stronger than his college girlfriends. The fact that women make every attempt to suppress man's ability to express his emotions is a certain indication of this. Yet she still contrives to create the myth of feminine depth of feeling and vulnerability. The tear ducts are tiny pouches containing fluid. With training, they can be controlled, just as one controls the bladder, so that there is no more need for an adult to cry than there is for him to wet his bed. A male child is taught very early in life to control both these functions. Once again, woman degrades herself.
Boys don't cry. You're not a little girl, dear.
Little girls, on the other hand, are never taught to control their tears, and they quickly learn to use them to advantage. If a man sees a woman crying, it would never occur to him that she may be incontinent. He assumes her feelings are aroused to a considerable extent and even judges the degree of feeling by the quantity of liquid shed. This is obviously a mistaken interpretation. Women really are callous creatures, mainly because it is to their disadvantage to feel deeply. Feelings might seduce them into choosing a man who is no use to them, i.e. a man whom they could not manipulate at will. They might even actively come to dislike men. After all, men are beings who should be alien to them and decide to spend their lives exclusively in the company of women. In fact, however, there are far fewer overtly homosexual women than homosexual men. And such women are generally well-to-do or at least financially secure. A woman with feelings would have to think and work to take on responsibilities and to learn to do without all the things which mean so much to her. Because she does not want this, she decides to remain callous, but she knows, at the same time, that it is necessary for women to enact the role of a sensitive being or man would become aware of her essentially cold, calculating nature. Still, as her emotions are always faked and never felt, she can keep a clear head. You can take advantage of someone's feelings only if you are not involved yourself. Therefore, she turns her partner's emotions to her own profit, only taking care to make sure he believes she feels as deeply as he himself, perhaps even more deeply. She must make him believe she, as a woman, is much less stable, much more irrational, much more emotional. Only thus may her deception remain undetected. But manipulation has, in any case, already taken care of that. A real man does not weep or laugh very loud. Reserved smiles have a sympathetic effect on those around him and make him seem a serious person to his business associates. He never screams, "Ah," when a light goes on, nor, "Ooh," when he touches cold water. He never shows that he is making an effort. By saying, "Ugh," when he has lifted a heavy case, he does not even sing when he is happy. Therefore, if a man notices all these emotional reactions in a woman, it never occurs to him that he has been conditioned by a woman not to express his own similar feelings. As a result, he assumes she is much more sensitive than he is, for otherwise she would not dare to exhibit her feelings in such an uncontrolled manner. A man who would cry only if a real catastrophe occurred, perhaps the death of his wife, must assume that when his wife breaks into floods of tears, for example, her emotions are equally strong, but for a lesser cause. He even thinks himself loutish and callous because he cannot share her grief. What an advantage a man would have if only he realized the cold, clear thoughts running through a woman's head while her eyes are brimming with tears.